That's right. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. It is Wednesday, so it's time for AlderTrack. Mike Fouché. AlderTrack, of course, the subscription news site that covers all things Chicago and Illinois politics. Good to see you, Mike. How
great
are you?
Great to be here. And was that New Edition?
It was. Cool It Now.
I think that's my theme now.
Thank
you, Pete.
It's definitely a good song to talk about the heating up of the rhetoric.
Yeah, man.
Cool the rhetoric.
Right.
That's what Pete was going
Take
for.
Take a chill.
So let's talk about this. So we know up to last night, we were talking to lawmakers on the program last night, up to the last minute where they weren't able to get the budget done. You know, Governor Rauner has talked about this being a failure, an embarrassment.
At 5 o'clock, he had a press conference yesterday before all the final votes, and he had already declared the Democrats a failure. And it wasn't just your average everyday press conference. He had made sure that everyone got the satellite coordinates, and he did it at 5 o'clock so that it would be sure to be on all the local news across the state where he could say the Democrats are a failure before the votes were even taken.
It's hard for me to fathom, and you know, I kind of talked about it in the carry out, but it's hard for me to fathom that the budget and not passing the budget is a strategic political move for both parties. Explain.
Well, I mean, you know, really what this all comes down to, Mark Brown had a terrific column in the Sun-Times this morning, which is what this all comes down to is that Bruce Rauner wants to pass the turnaround agenda. And we've talked about what the turnaround agenda is. And they are items that don't have to do with the budget, but unless Democrats are willing to pass components of his turnaround agenda, he is not going to approve a budget. The other part, there's two other parts too, though, which is that Illinois needs a tax increase. And the Democrats don't want to wear that jacket, put it in Chicago parlance. Mm-hmm. And the other is that Chicago public schools need a lot of money. Now, Republicans have been calling it a bailout. Fine, if that's the word you want to use. But they need more money or else schools are going to have to close in Chicago.
And that obviously has been what we've been talking about for the last couple months now, just about the troubles. I mean,
Six,
it's been a year.
Nine months. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this.
And it seemed that the Senate Democrats wanted to push that through last night, an education bill that would fund schools in the state of Illinois, including Chicago, give more money to the big arguments that have been happening over the last 2 months that are fruitless at this point. But talk about why that didn't come out and what are the political implications around schools.
The first thing that happened is that the House, led by Speaker Madigan and the Democrats, passed a budget a few days ago, I think Thursday, that gave $400 million extra to the Chicago public schools, but it also required essentially a tax hike of 5.5%, an income tax hike on average in Illinois of 5.5% to raise another $7 billion in order to pay for all the appropriations that they did. But they didn't put in the tax hike. They just did the spending.
Right. That's why Republicans seized on that, saying it was unbalanced and it was irresponsible.
Right.
And how can
and
they
that,
do this?
That's the failure part that Rauner was talking about.
Right.
And so then the Senate, led by the Democrats, and they have a supermajority, so they can do anything they want, they rebelled against that. And they felt like, you know, we're sick and tired of Madigan jamming stuff down our throat. We don't think it's actually enough money for Chicago public schools.
Okay.
And they voted against it. And they also said, look, we don't like the idea that we're going to be voting for something that doesn't have the money to pay for it. So they voted against it, and they killed it. In the Senate, the Democrats killed a Democrat House bill. And so then the next thing that they did is that they created what's called a clean education bill. And Rauner has been asking for a clean education bill, so there's nothing attached to it. And they created a clean education bill that has even more education spending for Chicago. And that went to the House, and that failed because the House Democrats didn't vote for it. So Democrats are fighting Democrats in the two different houses.
Now, I have some thoughts on that. Because
I'm sure you do.
Well, I find it interesting because I do feel that Speaker of the House Mike Madigan. Speaker Madigan is a very shrewd and strategic politician.
Right.
It doesn't feel as if the bill that they put together, the appropriations bill that was unbalanced, quote unquote.
Right.
that they ever thought that was going anywhere. All that really was a press release, essentially, to say this is what we think the state needs. And Bruce Rauner right away said he was going to veto it, so they knew it was dead on arrival.
Right.
But it showed this is what we think. I mean, it became like this is what our points are. So it almost on point, like the say the House Democrats rebelled in any form, it's such it feels to me like a very or Senate Democrat. It's just very hollow. Like it, you knew it wasn't going
to
go anywhere.
I think the point was is that Madigan wanted it to go through the Senate and pass the Senate. And so then Rauner would be stuck
with
this
thing. He'd be the veto guy.
He'd be the veto guy, and he would have to veto it, and he would be – and so then Democrats could spend the summer and the fall saying, Rauner is against education. No, 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 no. You know, he hates you. So – and so now where we're at is that schools are threatened with closing or not opening because schools across the state need money in order to open in the fall, not just Chicago. And not only K through 12, but also some of the smaller universities, you know, so NIU, Western Illinois, you know, some of those places that really rely on the state cash in order to keep going.
Now, but do you think that I mean, that'll play out. That's a chip. And it does seem to me that the Democrats kind of want to hold that up because don't you feel that once you get to August and September, if schools aren't going to open on time, that's the governor's problem.
Yeah, man, right? I mean, if everybody's a pawn, who cares? I mean, that's essentially where we're at, is that, you know, we're nobody's, you know, people who rely on state funding for anything, you know, whether it's social services, you know, suicide prevention hotlines, domestic abuse prevention or assistance, you know, homeless programs, there's a long list
all
of
sorts,
things,
yeah.
You know, people who are disabled that need in-home nursing care. There's tens, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and they're going to suffer. And schools are in danger too. Now there's a whole nother extra level here, which is that, even though we've been talking about assigning money to CPS from the state house, you know, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, that doesn't even come close to cracking the $1.1 billion that CPS extra needs for next year.
Because the pension payment is going to balloon and spike.
No,
and
it's because they are so far deep in all of their costs, and they don't have enough revenue, and they are not allowed to raise property taxes. CPS is not allowed by state law to raise their property taxes. They have a cap.
So what are some of the plans that are on the table to deal with a $1.1 billion deficit?
Well,
I mean, are lawmakers asking?
Yeah, I asked the mayor about this yesterday, and you know, he kind of danced around it. He didn't really answer it. And then Mike Flannery came in with the 1-2 punch behind me and asked the same question again. And the mayor then basically said, well, we've always expected that there would be a three-way handshake between the state, unions, and Chicago taxpayers.
Hmm.
So what he's saying is that there would have to be a CPS tax increase.
But there would have to be concessions from the teachers' union, and
right.
there would have to be more funding than is being talked about from the state.
But in order for CPS to raise property taxes, the state legislature needs to give the okay for it to happen. Now, there's this whole other horrible possibility, and it's which is that the state legislature doesn't do anything. And so we get to late July, and the city of Chicago has to do something. And so what they end up doing is raising city property taxes, which effectively for the taxpayer would be the same. But the reason why it's horrible is that bondholders, you know, there's two different government entities, and they each have their own legal liabilities. And so for one government entity to pay another government entity's debts is a very, very dangerous
like
and precarious.
Nobody likes that.
Bondholders hate that. And that could really jeopardize city debt ratings and make debt for the city of Chicago much higher. That is a possibility.
Let's take a quick break. Mike Fouché from AlderTrack is here. We're talking about fallout from yesterday's non-budget.
Right.
In the spring session, what got done. You know, we'll take a break and then are there any positives to take from what happened in the spring session? There were a lot of bills that the flurry of bills.
We'll talk about it, though.
We'll talk about it here. Stay with us. It's a download. Here's the download here on WGN Radio. Mike Fouché in studio with me from AlderTrack, covering all things Chicago and Springfield. Mike, let's talk about the flurry of bills, because it wasn't just the budget. Both the House and Senate were busy. They put some stuff together.
I think the big thing for the city of Chicago was the passage of the override of the veto of the police and fire pension reform. And to call it reform, you know, is really not the right thing to call it. It's essentially that it's as if the city took its mortgage for pensions and took it from a 30-year mortgage to a 40-year mortgage. They just extended the period.
And with that comes more interest.
With that comes more interest, but it also means less money that you have to put up front. And it's a huge deal for Chicago, because they save a lot of money. I think that if that failed, it would cost the city another $220 million right away, is what we had been hearing.
That was spectacular politics in the way that the governor vetoed this, yeah. And Rahm Emanuel came out. He came out guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
And the House responded, and some
Republicans
voted.
Jumped on it. And you know, good for you. I mean, because the thing that was actually pretty amazing about it is that Rahner was saying, oh, this is a terrible thing, this is horrible. But one of the things that should be, along with his ideology, is that it allowed the city of Chicago in order to make decisions for itself about how it wanted to manage its finances. And I think a number of Republicans that voted for it saw that and made statements as.
And there's been a lot of kicking the can down the road talk. I've heard pretty much every Republican lawmaker talk that way, or leader from both houses.
Yeah.
But you know, it's different in the way that these are full payments. They're just spread out, so the money's a little bit less. I mean, we're going to pick up some of the interest, but the idea is that we're not taking – it's not the Blagojevich years. We're not back to taking 2 years off on this stuff.
We're not taking pension holidays. But the other thing is that there are so many cans lined up at this point. You basically take a step at any point, and you're going to kick a can down the road. That's how Metaphor City. And, you know, it's so bad. There's way more horrible things to come. And there's two other pension funds that the mayor needs to negotiate. He's getting close to negotiating a deal for the laborer's pension.
When we saw with the police and fire pensions, is that what politicians or lawmakers are going to go towards, the idea of refinancing essentially and trying to spread these out? Does that actually pass constitutional muster?
They think so. One of the things that was interesting about the state Supreme Court ruling, I think it was like March, is that the justices essentially said, well, you know, if this was negotiated, they left a big door open. If this is negotiated with the labor unions, then maybe we might be interested.
I see. Okay.
And so the thing that was special about the police fire pension deal
was negotiated,
and the police and fire pensioners said, okay, cool, we're down with that.
And that's the case of what they're talking about
with the laborers right now. And there's another deal for state workers that's being talked about with AFSCME as well. So, you know, it could happen. It could move. Who knows? I mean, you know, I think the big thing is that everything is so incredibly toxic in the state house that even if you have something that's great, like this police fire thing, you know, that it is in danger of not passing, and it just barely
passed. Well, is there a point? I mean, obviously, the only thing we have as taxpayers is to vote. I mean, that's sort of our recourse, right?
Right.
But I mean, when politicians on both sides of the aisle are playing these big long game political fights, when they're doing strategy around politics and being able to stay in power. And, you know, it just seems like leaving in the wake of that is all of these people who need state services, where, you know, this extra stress around whether or not schools are going to be funded, whether our kids will be there in September. I mean, it just feels like there's a huge drama being played out in Springfield and nobody wants to watch.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like,
everybody's
it should be canceled.
Like,
if it was a drama, it should be canceled.
It's like in Brazil, where they open up the guy's eyes and make him watch
the whole
thing. Yeah. I mean, there's no escaping this at this point. And the fight is essentially Bruce Rahner and his supporters believe that the state has been poorly fiscally managed, and he's going to hold everybody to the fire until he makes them do the things that he believes needs to be done. And Democrats are saying Bruce Rauner wants to make the state do things that nobody really wants to be done. And, you know, what's interesting is that this morning, Rauner, after all of the stuff that happened last night where the budgets didn't pass, Rauner went on a tour in the south part of the state. And he went from small right. town to small town to small town, talking about how horrible the Chicago Democrats are.
And, you know, not to mention, which I thought was a very head scratcher, and we had Senator Murphy on talking about it as well, was the idea that when the budget passed, the next day, or not passed, when the budget bill that Madigan sponsored moved to the Senate,
right,
the next day they were robocalling in some of those swing districts,
right.
saying these people voted to raise your taxes.
Right.
So the idea
we're
that
on
I hear
a
from
campaign
I hear from
yeah.
from Christine Madonia, who was on yeah. Steve Cochran today, yeah. or you hear from Bruce Rauner, that they're ready to work, and the Democrats are just all interested in
right.
power and politics. That's just not the case.
No, we're on full on campaign mode. Both sides are beating the crap out of each other, and you know. I honestly, and what's also happening is that there's a major, major loss of trust. And there are barely any kumbaya moments, you know, where people are going to be able to just kind of hold hands and laugh. And, you know, the speech that President Obama gave last fall, where he was talking about how everybody ought to remember that they can work together here in Springfield, and he remembered all the great times when he hung out with Republicans and mm-hmm, played golf mm-hmm. and whatever. That stuff is, it's not really having an effect. It's still happening, I'm told, but it's not the same.
Mike Fouché is the man behind AlderTrack, a subscription news site that covers all things Chicago and Springfield politics. Mike, good to see you. See you next week.
Great to be here.